Today's daf in Yerushalmi Pe'ah is daf Zayin, and we are holding just a little bit before on that Vav Amud Beis in the middle of the sugya, and we wanted to understand what it was that Rabbi Yehuda's psak was of yesterday. So we learned yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda said that you can leave even a kelach b'talush, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be sufficient to define what you had left in the middle or at the beginning as peah. And you don't need to leave a separate shiur of peah at the end, the way Rabbi Shimon learns. But what was the intent? So ma, asked the Gemara, what was the kavana here in what it is that you left over? So in the first word of our daf, ma mitkaven, what was the kavana of the person who owned the field, who took something off and left that kelach? Was his kavana liftor et sadehu? Did he want to potter the field, and meaning in a case where he didn't leave a shear of echad mishishim, and now he wants to use this kelach and be mitzarif it to a shear, olo, or is it even where he did not have any kavana to utilize this kelach to potter the whole field from the peah? So that means that he had already left essentially the full shear, and now he's coming to add. So now the question is that he's going to create the din of peah, even though what he's leaving was not meant to be left to pot the field from peah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Nashmi ina minhada. Let us see from another psak that Rabbi Yosa had given, b'shem Rabbi Yochan. Dom Rabbi Yosa, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. And this too is an explanation of what Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said that the balasoda has to at least leave one kelach at the end of the field in order to provide the chalois shem peah on what he had left before. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying, that la'olam humosif olech, he can continue to add peah on what he had left originally at the beginning or in the middle. Now remember, we had that before. The word le'olam is mashma, that you can add something that you had already been tolesh and been kotzer, and you could be mosif. So mosif is mashma, that you are able to add above and beyond the shear, because otherwise, what's the pshat mosif? It's not mosif, it's that this is the amount of peah you're supposed to have left. So if that's the case, I ask you to think, manat kayami, what's the case over here? When did Rabbi Yosef say that the kelach can be tolush? I mean, if we're talking about b'mitkaven liftor et sadehu, meaning that he has not as yet left the shear of peah, and now he wants to come along and add this kelach to make the shear, that doesn't make any sense, because that would mean that even if he had given this, it wouldn't have been pottered. But the fact is that if the soda was kfar niftara, if he had already left it before, it would already have been pottered from the shear. That's what it was mashma, that's what he holds, as he said earlier. Ela, kenan kayamin, we must be talking about a case where b'sheno mitkavin liftar et sadeh. He's talking about where he's leaving this kelach now, after he picked it, and he had already left peah, the full shear. Now he wants to add on that shear. Now it makes no difference, basically, whether he had left the full shear or didn't leave the full shear. And he wants to be Mekayim, leaving peah at the end of his field. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda understands that what Rabbi Yehuda means to say is that the field can always have any amount at the end of it, no matter what you gave before, which will have a shame of peah on it. And all of it together will be considered a single peah, which makes tremendous nafkaminas in terms of the din of whether it has, you have to take off maestras and so on and so forth for it. And it's telling us that it's all basically one peah, no matter how much it is that you had given. And even if it was separated, as long as it's the last piece in your field. And now we're up to halacha dal. Says the Mishnah, klal amru b'peah. It's a very important general rule to determine what types of vegetation are chayev in peah. So the first thing is koshehi ochel. What it is only human foodstuff that is considered to be chayev in peah. Furthermore, it needs to be nishmar. It can't be something that the owners couldn't care less about and they're not being shomer the growth. Furthermore, it has to be something, and we'll go through what each one of these things is mamaya. It has to be Gidulav Min Ha'aretz. It has to have roots that draw nourishment from the ground. And furthermore, it has to be Likitato Ke'achat. It has to be something that is all, at one time, is gathered together at a particular season. And it's not that every day you get a little bit more like you would, let's say, with a fig tree kind of thing. And it needs to be something which is Machnisa L'Kiyum, something that is storable, and that not that it can only be eaten now. That type of thing, and only that type of thing, all of the above conditions are central to be Mechayev Yumin Peah. So, V'atvua, V'akitnit B'chalawaz, obviously, any type of tvua, any type of grain would meet these criteria, and any type of kidneyot would meet this criteria. So whether it's soy, or whether it's peanut, or whether it's pea, all of these things obviously meet all those criteria, and they are bichlal hazeh. Uvi ilan, there are also plenty of trees that meet these criteria, such as the og, the charuvim, the egosim, the shkedim. Again, I am not going to try to drive myself crazy to identify the names of fruits that even if I knew what they were called in English, I wouldn't know what they are. So where I don't know, I'll just use the Hebrew. Here, the og is translated by the Meforshim as sycamore, which sounds often like sycamore because of that. Everyone assumes that it's some type of edible fruit of a sycamore species. The carob, nuts, shkedim, and almonds, givanim, verimonim, zeitim, utmarim. And you have, of course, your vines and pomegranates and olives and dates. All of the above are storable, and therefore they are chayavim b'peah. They meet the criteria. Now, you say, klal amru b'feah. We are now looking for the source of all of this. If you take a look in the pasuk, what it says is, "V'kutzerchem et kitzir atzchem lo techalepa atzatcha lekitzor v'leket kitzircha lo telaket." From the word "ubikutzerchem," it would mean dafka einli ela kutzer. This is only things which I do a technical act of harvest. Harvest would not include picking things. It's things that I take a scythe or something similar, and I collect it all from the field. How do I know that if it's a thing that you were tolesh, and that would also be called b'kutzurchem minay, I can include that in the chiyav of peah? Talmud Lomar, that's why it says lo techalepa atzatcha liktzor. This is yet a different interpretation of those very fateful words. And liktzor comes to be marba, however it is that you are going about bringing it into the house, whether it's the standard bekutzurchem or whether it's liktzor, that nonetheless you would be chayev even if it were done in that fashion. How do we know, it should say, okay, how do we know something that you do not cut at all? Not with a kli, not with your hand. Instead, you pull up something from its roots. Would that be chayiv in peah? Minayin, how do we know that that too is included? Talmud lomar v'leket ketzirchat repeats yet a third time the word ketzir, which is coming to be mar, but that even someone who rips something out of the ground is also going to be chayiv in peah. So that means we have three different ways in which the pasuk is mechayiv us in peah. Now, furthermore, when it says ubkutzachem et kitziratzachem, the word katsir would imply only ela tfua, because we do a katsir on tfua. We don't call the kitniot a katsir. So kitniot minayin. Let's say all you're doing is picking soybeans. How do we know that you're chayim epeh even in that? Talmud lomar kitzir artzachem. Whatever it is that is going to be growing in your land, that is considered to be, meaning that it's a low plant and it's coming out of the ground, is chayev in peah. Still, that would mean dafka, vegetation that grows next to the land. But how about some fruit that comes out on a tree? Ilanot minayin. What makes you say that that's called artzachem? Maybe indeed that is separated from the earth and is not chayev in peah. Talmud lomar k'tzir atzachem lo techale ba'atzadecha. It's coming now to be mar, but yet something else. Repeah, which means to tell me that everything has to be like the k'tzir, but it doesn't have to be k'tzir. So anything, therefore, which I'm going to bring in all at one time, and which is similar, therefore, to the k'tzir, no matter how it is that I do it, is chayev in peah. Talmud. Now the Gemara says, in the Braita we find that Zorin Zeraim Vizarei Ilan Ke'achat. There we're talking about the problem of Kilayim, which normally prevents us, Midiraita, from sowing two species simultaneously. Now, the question is, suppose you have seeds from, let's say, vegetables or from grain, and you also have seeds that are meant to grow into trees. Zorim, Zeraim, Zarei, Ilan, Ke'achat. Then there's no problem of Kilayim, and you are allowed to plant them. Whereas, V'hazorea min ha'chartzanim, if, however, you plant at the same time that you are throwing in the chartzan, which is the pips of grapes, you put those in together, either with tvua, or you put it together with veggies, you would be lo ke'arba'im, because then you would be over on kilayim. What is the source of all of this? Omer Rabbi Zeira Ktiv, it says in the Torah of kilayim, lo tizra karmecha kilayim. What does that mean? Ikar karmecha means the source of your karam. The seeds of the grapes. Lo tizra kilayim. So that means that there's no way out of the fact that the Torah is being mechayev us to, in an iser of sowing seeds of gifanim together with things that grow in the field. Whether that would be grain, or that would be veggies. So Reb Yudin Kaput Koel is boy kamei Reb Yossi. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction here. Basically, when it comes to the discussion that we've been having as to what is considered zera for kilayim, so you said that, as Rabbi Zeira said, you said that the zrayim are not considered to be kilayim with an ilan. The problem is that when we were talking about the other sugya, which is the din of mehechsher for tuma, well, over there it also uses the lashon of kiutan mayim al zera v'nafal minivlatam alav, and over there we absolutely do consider Zarei Ilan, Kriyim Zroyim, and we have exactly the same criteria for Kabbalah's Tuma, with the same Heksher that we would have for the Zera of the vegetables. How do you explain the fact that you use the word Zera in different ways? When it comes to Lotizra Kilayim, it does not include the Ilanis. So when it comes to Akol Zera Zerua, it does include the Zera of Ilanis. Seems to me to be very arbitrary. Omar La, Rabbi Yossi answered, Rabbi Yudin, Taman, by the Isser of Kilayim. It says, Lotizra Karmacha Kilayim, and repeats Hazera Asher Tizra. So what is the pshat? Zera Ter Tizra. Mi Eta Katuv, She'en Derech B'nei Adam, Liot Korim Otam Zraim. Basically, what you normally would do, you take out a shtiel from a tree. You don't talk about planting trees with seeds. And therefore, we don't look at it as a Zera Asher Tizra when it comes to Kilayim. Mashenkein Bram Ha'achal Agabe Hechshet Tuma. Over there, the Torah Dafke is Marben, not Mamayet, because what it says is Al Kol Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya, anything that might be plantable. And that would include also the Ilanot as well. And the Mamayet they have completely different dinim.